And they all said, amen. Good to see you today. We just need to remember and pray for those that are traveling. And I know they said more traveled this holiday season than any other in a long, long time. So we just need to pray for safety and return. But it is good to see you here this Easter morning. It's good to see you here today. I want to ask you, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We've made it to chapter 4. And I'm going to talk about a subject today that we don't often talk about, but I think we need to dissect it and see what the Lord has for us today. And we're going to talk about how to spot a false prophet. Because there's nothing worse than buying into goods that aren't good, right? I mean, there's nothing worse than thinking we're getting one thing and you get another thing. That bait and switch, you know. And so today I want to talk about that. And in the introduction, I just want to talk a little bit about scam artists. How many of you remember the name Bernie Madoff? Bernie Madoff had the largest Ponzi scheme in history. He swindled $65 billion from his investors. The thing that's unique about that, though, is he was a Jewish man, and he had a lot of his Jewish clients. He'd gone and used that concept. He was Jewish. They were Jewish. They could trust him. And they lost their shirt. The sad thing is that so many of them lost everything that they had. They had absolutely nothing left because Madoff had taken everything from them. And that's the religious component that goes along with that, because there are a lot of religious scam artists. And they are there for one thing and one thing only, to get your money. They offer nothing for that except a false gospel. So we're going to stand and we're going to read the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4. John, an old man at this time, probably in his mid-90s, said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. And he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for divine wisdom and guidance, that we would be able to navigate this passage and talk about a difficult subject, but also a subject that we have to talk about and learn about, and also be at the place where we can know when we're being misled or someone is trying to scam us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now he says, test the spirits. And the Greek word for test is dokimos. And it means that you have a physician that has taken a test and passed that test so he can now practice medicine. And we should test every spirit, because everything that we hear is not exactly right. There are two spirits in our world. There is an evil spirit and there's a good spirit. The good spirit is the Holy Spirit. The evil spirit, you know, is the spirit of Satan and the demonic spirit. And we find out in John chapter 16, verse 13, these words: "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Now, catch that. He will do the guiding of you into all truth. "For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come." So, the Holy Spirit, and how do you hear those things? Well, you have to get in the book and understand the book and read it, and then he allows you to have wisdom and understanding, and then we can understand when someone's saying something, and that red flag goes up, you're like, that's not right. That's not right. We need to be really cautious concerning that so we're not misled or led astray. And we know there's an evil spirit in the world. And John 8:44 tells us, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So when that red flag goes up, you say, that's not right. You need to pay attention. And you need to say, all right, what is truth and what is error, and how can I know the difference? Well, if you'll surrender the Holy Spirit of God, you'll be in His Word, and you'll be in prayer, He will guide you into truth. And I don't like to be lied to, and I don't think anybody here likes to be lied to. But that's what the demonic spirit will do. He will tell you a lie and say, this is the truth. So we need to judge, number one, we need to judge every messenger by their content. What are they saying? And if they are telling the truth or speaking the truth, then we begin to understand truth. In verses 2 and 3 of our text, it says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So what we need to do is listen closely to what's being said so we are not led astray. Jesus said that there are sheep and wolves, wolves in sheep's clothing, and they enter in and they destroy from within. And you've seen that happen. False doctrine will come into the church. Someone's leading a false doctrine movement, and then the church is in trouble because they paid attention to that. But listen, even false prophets speak the truth occasionally. Think about it like this. We're in a digital world now, but we used to use the old analogy of the analog clock, and that clock could be stopped, but wherever it was stopped, two times a day, it would still be right. But that clock was still not right almost 100% of the time. So what we have to do is listen intently and understand what truth is and then what error is. There's been a lot of predictions over the last few years on the internet, and a lot of really crazy theories that have been out there that people have bought into, and they've been misled by them, and they haven't all come true. And you say, but this one thing came true that was said. Listen, God's desire for a prophet is that they are accurate every single time. And if they're not accurate every single time, you don't listen to them any of the time. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22, it said, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. And watch this last line. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. In other words, when there is error that is being spoken, don't be sucked in. Understand what truth is. And if someone claims to be a prophet and a prophecy doesn't come true, get away from them. Get away from them. Now, second thing is that we need to also judge every messenger by their character. Whoever is bringing the message to you, telling you what the Word of God says, you need to be sure that you test their character. Do they have consistency in their character? Are they going this way? Are they going straight? How are they living their lives? Now, just to be quite honest with you, there's been a lot of moral failures in the clergy department. And a lot of people have fallen. And a lot of people that you may have looked up to at one time, they did something to cause you to lose confidence in them. And there's a lot of that that goes on. And we need to understand that there are some serial womanizers in the ministry. There are pedophiles. There are people who will lead you astray, who will tell you one thing and do another. The Worldwide Church of God was a major movement in the 70s and 80s, and actually it goes back to the 50s, but 70s and 80s was a real big movement. And maybe you've heard the name Garner Ted Armstrong. Garner Ted Armstrong was, his father Herbert started the movement. He came in and took it over until he was defrocked, or he was let go, because Garner Ted Armstrong was having multiple relationships with his own parishioners. And finally they said enough is enough, and Garner Ted was out. But the problem is a group went with him. And still, he had that consistent, inconsistent lifestyle his entire life. And in fact, he said this, and I quote, "What you do in your private life is strictly between you and God. What you do in your public life is what other people are to see." He was saying it doesn't matter what you do privately, just don't do it publicly. Just don't get caught. And that is horrible advice. And people have that moral failure and they just slide down that slippery slope. And Jude 4 talks about that. And he said, "For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord and God of our Lord Jesus Christ." So what they're doing, they're saying, you know, yeah, Jesus is this, but Jesus really isn't God's son. He's really not 100% man and 100% God. He was an emanation, and he is a lower level of the original God. And they say something like this: "All flesh is sinful. Therefore, the flesh doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do in the flesh, you go ahead and do, and all the passion that you may have." And that Platonic philosophy merged with Gnosticism, and there were bits of truth to it, but there was so much error. And that error led too many people astray in the first century and the second century when it really took over. And we need to beware of those people. Garner Ted Armstrong, at the height of their ministry, they had 100,000 members of that church affiliation, and they were bringing in $70 million a year. And guess where the money went? You guessed it. Into their pockets. They misled the people. There's a third thing that falls under the test of a false prophet, and it's this: judge every messenger by their commercialism. You say, "Well, that's kind of odd. Why do you say commercialism?" Well, you go back in Acts chapter 8, even Simon, who was wanted to buy the Holy Spirit's power so he could manipulate and control others. And John and Peter said, "You can't buy this. This is not something that's for sale." And it goes back, and I'm going to throw a few names out today, and you may have heard this name or not. He's been gone for a while. The Reverend Ike out of New York City. The Reverend Ike had 16 Rolls Royces. He said, "God wants me to arrive in style." Can you imagine that? He would get on and he would say, "I don't want your nickels and dimes and quarters and dollars. I want your 20s, 50s, and 100s. He would say this. He'd say, "If you'll come up here and you'll lay at my feet all the money you have in your wallet or your purse, God's going to give you 100 times more." It's a flat out lie. The prosperity gospel is a lie. But it's so easy to want to believe, because that means if I give this to God, God's just going to bless me with so much more. No, that's not how it works. False prophets have always been around. In fact, Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he said these words, "There are false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring them on himself with swift destruction." So, they've always been there, they always will be there, and they will dupe you. Jesse Duplantis is another one. He is a charismatic televangelist from Louisiana. He owns 3 private jets. And about 3 or 4 years ago, if memory serves me correctly, he was asking those who followed his ministry to send him money because God had told him that he was going to get a brand new Falcon 7 jet that cost $54 million. And you know what people did? People sent money to that. They were duped. His good buddy, Kenneth Copeland, who, by the way, is worth $750 million. Do you think that was ill gain? Absolutely. And then I think about, let me just quote what Kenneth Copeland said. He also flies private. He said about flying commercial, it's like being stuck in a long tube with a bunch of demons. So you know what he's saying? You and I, who, if we fly, we fly commercial. He's saying it's like being in there with you with a bunch of demons. Now, I don't know how people buy into this stuff. There in South Africa, there's a pastor named Mbaro. And Mbaro has done this religious resurrection stunt where he has a man in a casket. And supposedly by his power, he raises the man from the dead. The man gets out of the casket and the people go wild. And it was live streamed around the world. And people sent all kinds of money to him. And he said that two local funeral homes would authenticate it. And both funeral homes now are suing him because it was alive from the pit of hell. Be careful who you listen to. Oh, then he said he went to heaven. And you know what he did when he got to heaven? Took out his iPhone and was taking selfies. And that's not all. He was going back to his parishioners and selling those photos of himself in heaven for $340 a piece. And they could have a piece of heaven too. Would anybody here be misled by that? I pray not. I pray not. It's unbelievable, folks. But that's enough about the negative. Let's look at the positive. Let's look at the testimony of a faithful servant. In verse number 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. A person who truly knows God is going to be able to winnow the chaff away and see what's the truth. So we're not misled. We're not deceived. We're not duped. We're not built out of our money. Three things. Number one. A true messenger identifies with the Son of God. Now you say, well, sure. But during this period, in the end of the first century, end of the second century, they were saying, Jesus, well, he died on the cross as a man. And when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The spirit of Christ was gone and Jesus, the man, was left. And so they split this dualism. And John says, no, 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 no. Jesus Christ was 100% man, 100% God. He came in the flesh. He died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. He was resurrected on the third day. He ascended back to heaven. And one day he's coming back again. He said, that is an absolute fact. Verse 4 says these words. You are of God, little children, have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So claim that verse. Lord, because you came into my life, the moment that I was born again in the family of God, Lord, you will always be greater because you are greater than the spirit of the demonic, which is Satan, and you will guide us into all truth. And Lord, we just simply push all the chips in on you because we're not holding anything back. And that's one thing I love about that song. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Because you know what? Everything else, it's going to fade away. Everything that we own, everything that we think we have, it's going to become dust, rust, and ashes. The deed that you own to your piece of property will soon be owned by somebody else. The house you live in will be lived in by somebody else. The position you have, if you're still working, someone else will have that position. Nothing that you have here is lasting. That's why we should rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. That true messenger, they make a beeline for God. And they say that's the only thing that's truly important. Verse 2 says, by this you shall know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. That's why it's so important. We say, yes, Jesus was fully man and fully God. And that's why every time Peter, James, John, Paul, Jude, when they stood to preach, they had one thing, one message. You know what that message was? Jesus. Jesus. And they were making a beeline to Christ because Jesus truly saves. Now, verse 37 of Romans chapter 8, I love that passage of Scripture, and I want to go there now. It says, yet in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loves us. So we don't win the victory in our flesh. We win the victory in the Spirit of God that has come into our hearts and lives and is directing us into all truth. So, a true messenger is indwelt by the Spirit of God. And as the Spirit of God indwells us, we're able to know truth and we're able to discern truth, and we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, and we can overcome. Thirdly, quickly, a true messenger is inspired by the Word of God. Now, did you notice the sequence? We're indwelt by the Spirit of God, we're identified with the Son of God, and we are inspired by the Word of God. Now, there was a time when Peter and John and Paul and all of the apostles were preaching and teaching, and guess what? They didn't have this New Testament at the time. It was being written, and it was in different places, and they were circular letters that would go around to the churches, and they would read them, and then you had scribes that began to copy them, so there was more and more scriptures. In fact, there's over 25,000 manuscripts of the Word of God out there, and listen, not every church had all of this. Now, they had all of the Old Testament back here, but they didn't have all of the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, on every page of Scripture, you know what it's pointing to? To Jesus. Every page. And as we study that and learn and grow and become more of what we should be and less of what we are, God gives us the strength to know truth. In fact, Peter said, we have a sure word of prophecy. And the Bible, it's different than any other book. I mean, there's no other book like the Bible. I love what Timothy says in 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God, God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instructions in righteousness. So he's saying, if you want to know the truth, and you want to be corrected, and it's profitable, and instruction in righteousness, right living, then what you need to do is get in the Word. You need to feast on the Word of God so you'll grow. Hey, anybody remember what I talked about last Sunday? What? Grateful, yeah. What did you eat last Tuesday? I don't remember what I ate, do you? But I know it nourished me. And sometimes people say, well, you know, I can't remember the sermons. I can't remember all that you say in those things. Listen, you're getting fed, and that's what's important. And you may not remember it all, but you can recall bits, pieces, and portions, and you grow through that. But so we're inspired by the Word of God. And listen, most important reason to test the spirit of those messengers who come in is false prophets will try to sneak in and tell you there's another way to go to heaven. They'll tell you, oh, you know, there's more than one way. Well, Jesus said in John 14:6 that He's the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father except through Him. So there's not multiple ways. There's not keeping the Ten Commandments or being good or just being a helpful person in your community and doing a lot of civic things. That's wonderful, but that's not going to get you to heaven. And you don't want to buy a bus ticket when you're going to Chicago that takes you to L.A. But if somebody convinces you, hey, this bus will get you to Chicago, now that's the furthest point away. There's only one bus to get on, and that's the bus of Jesus. And he will take you to the right destination. The important test that we need to understand is how to get to heaven. And Jesus tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul was speaking, he was toward the end of his life, and Paul was saying, I know I'm going to lose my head, I know that they're going to behead me, I know that I'm going to die, and I'll be a martyr for Christ, but here's the thing, I'm ready. I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to get on the bus. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So Paul's saying, hey, my time's almost up, and I'm good with that, because I've got a better place to go. And I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith, and I'm ready. If the Lord's ready for me, then I am ready to go be with him. I love and I hate flying. I hate waiting. You get to your destination and they say, flight's delayed. Never been there? Mm-hmm. Ever sat in airports for hours on end? Mm-hmm. No fun. No fun. But imagine you're sitting there hours on end and there's a gate change that comes up. Instead of gate 10, you're at gate 26. So you have to grab your stuff and run down to your gate only to get there and find out that someone has misled you and you miss your flight. Now listen, the only one that will never mislead you is Christ and in his word. So get in there and study and be the disciple that Christ wants you to be. Grow in faith, trust, and in love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for divine wisdom and guidance. Lord, I pray that you would help us when we hear of charlatans and how they're trying to mislead. Father, help us to have discernment and wisdom. And Lord, help us not to be misled. Help us, Lord, to keep the faith, to fight the good fight and finish the course. And Father, I pray for anyone that's here that does not know you, that today they would. And if there's people here that need to be part of this local assembly, I pray they would come. May your will be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand and come.